All right, I'm Flex Pavilion.
Hello, this is Andrew W.K.
Yo, 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 it's Miles from Slack Stupid.
This is Ali.
This is Nick from Chuk Chuk Chuk.
What's up, guys? This is the Chain Smoker. Is the name of school from Ghost?
This is Beefcake the Mighty from Guar.
Hey, folks, we're Royal Blood.
And you're currently listening to Sound Sessions.
Sound Sessions. Sound Sessions.
Sound what?
Sound Sessions.
Sound Sessions.
You're listening to the sweet sounds of Sound Sessions. Thank you.
Hey there, this is Matt Fryer from The Ghetto Kid, and you are listening to Sound Sessions.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is Michael with another episode of Sound Sessions. I'm here with Kevin. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, Michael.
Hey, so how are you feeling today, Kev?
Getting better. Coming over a cold.
Yeah.
But I'm hanging in there.
Okay, well, that's good. You know, that's the one thing you kind of go through when you're working, especially in radio or in, I guess, music in general, is you kind of get these colds, you get this sickness. And I'm sorry to say, our next guest kind of got over a cold himself.
You got
to
roll with it.
You got to roll with it. And we are delighted to be joined by this next guest. He's from one of my favorite bands of all time, the Get Up Kids, who are celebrating their 20th anniversary at the Double Door. It's a sold-out show, and we are stoked to have him. Matt Pryor of the Get Up Kids. What's up, Matt?
Hey, man. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. So thanks again for joining us. Now, you played the first night of the two-night show at the Double Door last night. How'd everything go?
It went great. It was a really fun show. A bunch of friends came out. A bunch of people sang along, and it was a good time.
How could you not sing along? I mean, who doesn't know the Get Up Kids, and who hasn't grown up on those albums? It's sold out. What do you think about playing at the Double Door? Have you ever played there before?
Actually, no. I've never played here before. We can all scratch it off the list of having played almost every single venue in Chicago.
I was going to say, because not only have you guys played probably every single venue, you guys kind of recorded your first few albums here. Is that correct?
Our first record was recorded here at the Chicago Recording Company, yeah.
Famous spot, man, yeah.
CRC comes up so much on this podcast, and that's what we really like about living in Chicago, all these bands that kind of get their start here.
Well, we recorded our record in 2.5 days.
Oh, wow. Jeez.
We did 11 songs in 2.5 days,
man.
Basically on about 4 hours of sleep a night.
That's like true punk rock fashion. Is that like first takes or like three takes? Or how did you knock that out?
I don't remember. It wasn't very many. Wasn't very many takes, that's for sure.
It's
a pretty raw-sounding record.
That's remarkable. So, I mean, I don't know exactly, you know, I don't have my notes here telling me exactly when that was, when you recorded that first album, but you guys have been around since, what, the mid to late 90s, is that correct?
Well, it's our 20-year anniversary this year. We started in 1995.
There you go. So
do the math, carry the one.
So when you get going...
We recorded that in the spring of 97.
Okay, so there you go.
When we recorded.
Yeah, that's remarkable, man, and congratulations again on that. So, you know, being in a band for so long and playing so many shows and putting out so many records and all that, how do you keep it fresh? Do you ever find yourself just going through the motions, or how do you keep it fresh every day when you're coming to these shows?
Well, you know what? I always say that, like, these songs we've been playing for so long, they're still really fun to play because you're, like, you connect with the audience and you're kind of feeding off of their enthusiasm. They're really, really boring to practice. Like, mm-hmm. when we have to get together in a room just by ourselves to relearn them, it's just kind of like, yeah, I got it. Yeah, okay, fine. You know? But when we get to actually play them for people, then it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I could imagine that. To be honest, I could hear Don't Worry, I'll Catch You probably about a billion times, but I could imagine that'd be a little bit daunting to practice over and over again.
Yeah.
But that's what you have about the crowds, though. They love this music, and it's so great. So you're playing two sold-out shows. How about the other bands? Can you speak on them a little bit? Because these guys must be looking up to you, I mean, for the past 20 years. And now what is it like for them kind of to be stepping up into, I guess, your footsteps?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, they're both Roswell Kid and Into It Over It, I've been a fan of for a while, so I was really stoked that they were on the shows. And I mean, I can't really speak to like how they relate to us, just that we like their bands and they have turned out to be really nice guys, and so we're stoked to have them.
Well, that's awesome. So, you know, I want to go a little bit. I want to go a little bit meta here for a second.
Okay.
There's this new podcast that I've been listening to, Kevin, and I've kind of been. It's been on my replay for the last few weeks, and it's by Matt. It's called Nothing to Write Home About podcast, and where it's Matt kind of talks to all the other musicians. He has a Tuesday special with Reggie from Reggie and the Full Effect,
awesome.
Who's also in the band
cool.
The Get Up Kids.
Yeah.
It's awesome, Matt. How did you get this started?
I mean, I just listened to a lot of podcasts, and I was just like, oh, it's just like talking to your friends. And I was like, oh, I can do that.
Yeah.
So, you know.
And you're quite literally talking to your friend there, yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of like the same way of, like, you know, like, you don't really, like, wait around for someone to tell you how to start a band.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to do it. So I was just kind of like, yeah, I can do that. And, you know. Googled it, and sure enough, it's really easy.
It's a badass podcast, too. I think the episode that I listened to today, you guys were talking about Halloween costumes, rain in New Orleans, and,
mm-hmm.
and just going back and forth with these guys. It's so fluid. It's almost like I'm not listening to anything. It's wonderful. Great job on the new podcast.
Well, you're not listening to anything. That's why it's called Nothing to Write Home About.
Is it the Seinfeld of podcasts, where it's like the show about nothing?
But not as funny.
That's debatable.
So, Matt, you've been described as coming up in the emo scene or being an emo band, and I really feel like the word emo these days has been kind of bastardized, and some almost view it as an insult. How do you feel about the word emo?
Oh, I don't, really. The only time I ever think about it is when people ask me about it, and... I mean, our relationship to that was always that it was a negative connotation, and now it's become both like a marketing term.
Yeah.
And then for some people, like my kids' age, it's like a badge of honor, you know? It's almost like saying you're a punk rocker or something, and I'm just kind of like, oh, okay. If that's your thing, that's cool. I mean, you know, we didn't like it at first. I probably still don't like it, but,
okay.
You know, what are you going to do? You can't stop people from saying it, so...
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
absolutely.
I can feel that. It's kind of weird that a lot of the articles that I've read and, you know, the musicians that I've listened to have kind of dubbed you guys as maybe the godfathers of emo rock. But man, you guys have influenced just a slew of artists from the years. So, I mean, you must kind of take a little bit forthright with that title a little bit, correct?
Well, not really. It really doesn't mean much to us. To be honest, like we're extremely happy when people like our band, and we're extremely honored when people are influenced by us. But the word emo really means absolutely nothing to us.
Well, let's go back to a little bit from the beginning. So, how did the band, the Get Up Kids, get started? I mean, how did you guys get all together? Because you guys had a little bit of transitioning with other musicians that would join your band. And then you guys have just built this huge empire over the years. Where was the beginning, and what was the vision that you first saw by creating this band?
I don't know that we had a vision. It was just, Rob and Ryan are brothers, and then they've known Jim since, like, kindergarten. And they were in a band together in high school. And then I met them through the, you know, all-ages punk rock scene in Kansas City. And we, when their band broke up, we decided to start a band together. And then it was just kind of like we liked the same music and we got along pretty well. So we just kind of went with it. And it wasn't until, geez, I don't know, our first or second tour that we were kind of like, oh, hey, maybe we should do this for real. Like, it was always just something we did for fun, you know?
Yeah, and then you kind of have just broken off over the next few years into new projects, new bands. You're in the New Amsterdams. I mean, how did that come to be? Are you just overflowing with creative juices that you're like, I need to start this side project?
I wouldn't put it that way, but I mean, it's variety is the spice of life, you know.
Definitely.
So, It's definitely good to do lots of other things, and I think the other guys would agree with me on that.
Sure.
But it just keeps it interesting, you know?
Absolutely. Speaking of doing other things, what are some other things that you do in your personal life or in your time when you're away from music?
I have a family. I'm home with my kids.
They're actually here in Chicago right now.
Oh, that's cool.
With my wife, they came to the shows. And but yeah, for the most part, when I'm home, I'm just Mr. Mom.
So is this one of the, I mean, is it common for your kids and your wife to come out to your shows? Or, I mean, how old are your kids?
They're 8, 11, and 13. Like when they can.
Yeah.
And, you know, flying three other humans everywhere is expensive.
Sure. Now, is that how? What's that experience like for you, knowing that your kids are watching Dad up on stage? Is that, do you think about it, or is that something that you put out of your mind? Or, I mean, how do you feel about that?
I don't really think about it, other than whether or not my youngest is going to break something, and or if he's going to fall asleep because he's 8.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, that makes sense. Do they have musical aspirations as well, or what do you kind of start to see them starting to do?
Yeah, they actually all play piano, and some of them play guitar. And my daughter Lily, who's 13, she actually played a couple songs to open our show in Kansas City that we started the tour with.
Really?
So that was one of her first. She's played like 4 or 5 concerts, but that was her biggest one.
For a 13-year-old? That's incredible. How cool.
Yeah.
That must be nice. So she's playing in front of these bands. I mean, is there a chance for her to maybe find herself on one of your albums?
I don't know.
Okay. It's good to have a rock and roll kind of dad. I mean, this is the way that I feel like I would be if I had a kid. You know, you would just go and try to support them as much as you can. And if you can play, put them on stage before your show, hell yes, that's what I would do.
Well, I mean, I don't know. They have a very healthy attitude about it. They don't really see this as being anything mystical. It's just kind of like, this is the job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you want to do it, you got to work hard. You got to tour.
Sure.
But it's not like they don't see it as being terribly glamorous.
Which I'm sure it isn't at times, but yeah. So, you know, the Get Up Kids have a handful of albums, EPs, they got side projects, you know, labels and all that. What's next for Matt Pryor, and what's next for the Get Up Kids?
What's next for us is, I don't know. We're trying to do some overseas stuff next year, maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe play some festivals and stuff. But for me, I've been writing some stuff and recording some stuff, so hopefully I'll put out another record sometime next year.
Mm-hmm. Solo?
And then, mm-hmm.
Nice.
So, yeah. I don't know. We kind of, with Get It Goods, we take it pretty laid back. If something fun comes up, then we'll do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like our 20-year anniversary. It's a scheduling nightmare because everyone else has so much else going on in their lives.
Right.
But, I mean, whenever we can get together to do it, we will.
That's awesome. And, you know, this 20th anniversary tour, which is going on yesterday and it's going on today, December 3rd, it's such an awesome idea. And it's kind of makes me a little heartfelt to think that it's been 20 years since, like, one of my favorite bands has put out their albums and gotten started. And thank you again for coming to Chicago, by the way. This is an excellent spot. What made you want to do 2 nights here?
Sounded like fun. We wanted to try and do multiples in a lot of cities, but it didn't really pan out. So Chicago and New York were the only ones that we really got to do 2 nights in, because we have a lot of friends in a lot of places, and sometimes it's hard to pack them all into one night's guest list, you know?
Mm-hmm. I could see that. So, you know, you're here in Chicago. Speaking of fun, what do you guys like to do for fun here in the city? I mean, you guys have kind of a history here. You guys must know a little bit of the nooks and crannies and good spots that you find with your friends and stuff like that. So what do you like to do while you're here?
Well, we like to go drinking. And I'm trying to find the name of this place that I just ate lunch at.
Where are you at? Describe it. Maybe we'll know it.
It's a deep dish place.
Pequod's?
That's it.
Oh, no way. Good. Look at that.
So good.
Yeah, I took the wife and kids to that place.
Nice.
And then over the years, we've become good friends with Graham Elliott, the chef.
Oh, man.
So
that's cool.
He came to the show last night, so we're going to go eat at his bistro tonight after soundcheck.
Wow, so, that's great.
Jeez.
Yeah, we try to eat.
What a good connection to have to eat.
No kidding.
Yeah, no. You're telling me.
So, hey, Matt, it was fantastic speaking to you today. Thank you again for joining us on Sound Sessions. Now, for all your Chicago listeners out there, what do you have to say for them and give them, you know, maybe some advice for people who are listening to this podcast and trying to start their own band? And after 20 years, what do you have to say to those kids out there?
I mean, if you want to start your own band, just do it. And do it because you like it, not because you think you're going to make any money on it, because you're probably not. And then I would just say thank you to the good people of Chicago who've been supporting us for 20 years and coming to all our shows back at the Fireside Bowl and everywhere else we've played here in town. And for everybody that sold us out tonight at the Devil Door.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been great. We're excited. We're just happy that people still come out.
That's Matt Pryor of the Get Up Kids. They're celebrating their 20th anniversary tour at the Double Door, December 2nd and 3rd. It's sold out, but you can still catch their music everywhere, online, on their site. Be sure to check out Matt's podcast, Nothing to Write Home About podcast, and where Matt talks to his friends and has Tuesdays with Reggie. It's amazing, and I highly suggest you check it out. Matt, thanks again for joining us here on Sound Sessions.
All right, man. Thank you.
Don't worry, I'll catch you.
Can't get enough of Sound Sessions? Like our Facebook page, follow us on Twitter at SoundSeshPod, and check us out on Instagram at SoundSessionsWGN.